Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I am Billy Embody. Thank you for joining us once again for a podcast as I am back from Florida, where the Under Armour Future 50 was held. Had a great time. Saw many of my fellow recruiting site brethren, both On3 and some of my former colleagues. So it was always a blast to get together with them, see some of the best talent in the country on display. And that's what I'm going to talk about for the most part on this pod, is share some of my thoughts on the guys that competed at IMG Academy there in Bradenton, Florida, right down the road from my 102-year-old grandpa. So I was able to have lunch with him, see some of the fam as well. So I had a blast doing that. If you're ever down in Bradenton, Florida, go to Duffy's Tavern on the island. Best burger you'll ever have. Kind of a hole in the wall. Been there for years. And they do have the coldest beer that I have ever had. So go check that out. Cash only, by the way, for Duffy's Tavern. But back to more important things. Recruiting for LSU continues to heat up. I will touch on an upcoming announcement later on in the podcast on Saturday that we're monitoring for LSU. But first, I do want to jump into the Under Armour Future 50, and then also at the end, we'll touch on the SEC Media Days, where Brian Kelly, Jack Besh, BJ Ojulari, and Mike Jones Jr. were in attendance. So nothing too much to glean from it, but did want to share some thoughts on it. But all right, let's jump in. LSU had two commits at the Under Armour Future 50. Ryan Yates, a four-star defensive back out of Denton, Texas, from Guyer High, as well as Deshaun Womack, who goes by Womack, he told me. And he is one of the best prospects in the entire country. We just gave him a little bit of a nudge up in the rankings, all the way up to number 53 overall, if I have my if my memory serves me right. He is just one of the best prospects in the nation. He is the number one player in Maryland, number eight edge prospect overall for On3. We're very high on him, and I can see why LSU is as well after seeing him work out. He earned top performer honors for On3. He was pretty much the best pass rusher there. You know, he just really got after just about everybody, save for Miami five-star commit Francis Mu, I'm going to butcher his name, Francis Muyal, yeah, I'm butchering it, five-star offensive lineman who just committed to Miami and plays for IMG, really, really talented offensive lineman, looks like a first-round draft pick right now. So anyway, Deshaun Womack really, really shined in this setting. He is a big dude. Out of all the edge prospects there, I would say just size-wise, he was probably the one that was the biggest, can carry the most weight in college. I think he could be somebody that I still think this, that he can, you know, play with his hand in the dirt, end up as like a three tech, or slide inside on pass rushing downs and be a part of a package. And he showed really good, you know, patience in his pass rush. That was the thing, you know, when he comes off the ball, it, you know, some of these guys, PJ Adebore, who's committed to Oklahoma and just got his fifth star, from On3, he just looked like a freak. He was coming off the ball, reckless abandon, so much speed, really elite prospect that was there as well. But for Deshaun, he's a little bit more calculated, a little bit more methodical almost, uses his hands well, does a good job of getting opposing offensive linemen off of him. We'll drop his highlights from the camp. I'm still cutting up tape. Got a ton of audio to get through from both the prospects we talked with as well as Charles Power breaking down the new rankings we just released. So bear with me on that front, but he was terrific. Really, really impressed with Deshaun Womack. You can see why LSU likes him a lot. He flipped around left, right side, came off the edge, and again, won pretty much all of his reps. Had a tough time against Francis there, but really, really looked the part of a guy who could, you know, have a long NFL career. So a stock up guy for us, a top performer for us. And of course we were highest on him very early on. And now some other ranking services are catching up there as well. So as far as, Ryan Yates, he wasn't tested too often. He's still making that transition to the safety position. He had a nice breakup on a deep ball intended for Aiden Williams, a four-star wideout. He provided good coverage. I thought he was very smooth in the drills. You can tell he's really been working on his craft a lot. He told me this after the fact. He wishes he could have, you know, put down a good 40 time to kind of show some of his top end speed that he feels like he has. I think that's probably the area that you want to see him really put down something that's, you know, really, really quality in that respect. But, you know, very, very savvy player, very smart. Again, smooth in drills, had some breakups, and, you know, is going to play for one of the best teams in Texas. You know, they're a team with Jackson Arnold, that quarterback, the Oklahoma commit, that is looking like they could very well win a state championship this year. And their secondary with Peyton Bowen, who just got his fifth star from On3, and Eli Bowen, his younger brother, just really, really talented group there at Guyer. And they've got some other prospects who are going to play on Saturdays for sure. So if you're in the DFW area, check out Guyer this fall. I'll be checking them out. I think I'm probably going to go to the Allen Guyer game as of now, kind of mapping out my schedule to see guys this fall, and that's one I want to hit. So, Ryan Yates was impressive. I think he's probably appropriately ranked by us. I think he's somebody that could develop into a solid starter, and you know, have a shot to be in the league. You know, he's just one of those smart players that seems like he's going to stick somewhere on an NFL roster when it's all said and done, at least my take on him. But he doesn't, in that setting, he didn't necessarily flash like you would have, like some of the other guys, quite frankly, just because you're out there and you've got top 100 corner or safety, however you want to look at him, JV and Toviano out of Texas. You have Malik Muhammad, another elite corner. You've got Peyton Bowen, who is awesome. There you had Desmond Ricks, the top corner in 2024. You had Cormani McClain, one of the top defensive backs in the country. It just was a really talented corner and safety group. You had Yonel Aguero, who really shined. It's hard to really stand out among that group when, you know, you're just maybe just a cut below as far as athleticism. So he had to rely on his kind of savvy, his technique, and I think he did that, and I think he showed well, you know what I mean? And I've seen Ryan in various settings now for over the last couple of years and was impressed with him on Saturday. Sometimes when you see guys so much, you know either what they're capable of or you kind of get accustomed to seeing them play at a certain level, and I thought he raised his game. So wasn't anything to, you know, earn a top performer nod, but I thought he was steady. I thought he looked the part, and he's up to, he's about 6'1", 195 now, so he's got some size to him as well. But he is somebody that is getting recruited still by Oklahoma. It's kind of an LSU-Oklahoma battle from what I understand now. You know, he told me he's planning to be at LSU for the cookout next week, cookout pool party at Brian Kelly's house. But Oklahoma is certainly pushing for a visit as well that weekend, so we'll see where he pops up. That's going to be very interesting. If he goes to Oklahoma, you know, distance, yes, it's definitely a short drive for them-ish to Norman, but you want to see him hit Baton Rouge and be there and get back to campus, and that's where he told me he was leaning on visiting. So we'll continue to track that one for sure going into next week and see where he ends up going. But those two guys, just want to share my thoughts on them. Some targets around the camp that really shined. LSU is still after JV and Toviano. A&M, I still think, is probably the leader there. But he also mentioned schools like Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan coming after him, Texas. His recruitment's going to be very interesting. But he said he's closing in on a decision. And I think it's going to be Texas A&M. LSU certainly not going to give up. He said he would like to take an official visit to Baton Rouge. And he could be coming to Baton Rouge for next weekend for that pool party. He said there are numerous schools obviously trying to get him on campus for that last weekend of July. So that's the latest on JV and Toviano, 2023 four-star DB. 2024 five-star defensive back Desmond Ricks looked the part. I mean, he's got everybody in the country after him. LSU is among the schools in the mix. He's going to go to Florida next weekend. His length, his size, he played a little bit of safety even in the camp. And just excelled. He was really, really good overall. So LSU is going to keep swinging away on him. Alabama, Miami, Ohio State, plenty of others are after him as well. And he visited in June. So he He said he had a great time, loved the food. But I think he is certainly one that LSU would love to have. I mean, that's somebody that walks in right away and starts day one for you, just from what I've seen. So that's kind of the update on the secondary there. And then you look across the ball, and Aiden Williams, four-star wide receiver out of Mississippi, surprises and says, hey, LSU, Ole Miss, and Tennessee are my top three schools. I said, okay, wow, all right. He's been very quiet. He hasn't taken many visits. He was at LSU this spring, had a great time. He really loves what Cortez Hankton did with George Pickens at Georgia. It sounds like Ole Miss is in the driver's seat to keep him in state, but I will say LSU's done a really nice job recruiting him quietly, and what a prospect he looks like. And I see why he kind of compares himself to George Pickens and that development, because he really put it on display. He's got the size. He was a smooth route runner. I thought he caught the ball very well. Sometimes with those bigger guys, they kind of fight it sometimes. I saw that with Jalen Hale a little bit, who's out of Texas, Longview, Texas. But Aiden looked very smooth. He earned a top performer nod, if my memory serves me correct, or at least a healthy mention from our national staff. Again, was very impressed. We'll see what happens with that one and how it develops. But LSU right there in the mix for him from what he told us. So that was interesting. And then lastly, another guy I want to touch on, David Stone, 2024 four-star defensive lineman, really impressed me. Not as tall as I thought he'd be, but man, he's quick with his hands. He uses his leverage well, and he was fairly dominant in what I would say was, outside of Francis and Caden Green, an Oklahoma commit that Deshaun Womack actually had two good reps against, I would say it was almost kind of weak, just in my opinion. So he was really, really good. David Stone was. He's playing at IMG. LSU is swinging away on him. Jamar Cain's had a relationship there since the Oklahoma native was playing his high school ball in Oklahoma. He's an Oklahoma legacy, but he told us his mom doesn't want him to stay, quote-unquote, in-state at Oklahoma. So that recruitment sounds like it got a lot more interesting. But, yeah, so those are some of the Under Armour Future 50 takeaways. Quick recruiting note, 2024 tight end, Tavion Galloway out of Ohio, the four-star, is set to announce his commitment on Saturday. I've got my pick in for the Tigers. I think you guys should hang around the site for that one. I think LSU is going to land him. He was on campus for camp and also an unofficial visit in June, and he had his whole family down there with him. It just really seemed like things got buttoned up there for the Tigers back in June. So that'll be a big commitment if he does in fact pick the Tigers on Saturday. So stay tuned to the site for that. Now, on to SEC Media Days. Kind of a quick rundown. You know, I think they brought the trio they brought, you know, because they're very cool, collected, not going to say anything crazy by any means. And that's what happened. You know, I think the big takeaway was the quarterback position. You know, them, Brian Kelly reiterating that they're going to probably take it a little bit more, more so as like a, you know, start to tailor the offense for each player and be able to start to install packages for them and see how they handle that in fall camp, and then base the decision on that as far as how the quarterbacks pick all that up. So I think that was probably the interesting thing for me, just hearing them start to reiterate the plan that he had shared during the spring, which was that they were going to begin to tailor the offense once the players picked up the offense. And so that's what we're going to see in fall camp. You know, it sounds like it could be anyone, quite honestly, except Walker Howard. Jaden Daniels, Miles Brennan, Garrett Nussmeier. My money is still on Garrett Nussmeier. Just I think he's put together the most complete performance in front of the new staff. You know, you would like to think both veterans might have a little bit better shot, but I just think when it comes down to it, at least from what we see, and who knows, it's been a long three-ish months since the spring game, and we'll be, you know, now going into fall camp, so a lot can change, but I still think, you know, at least heading into fall camp, Garrett Nussmeier is probably your favorite. And funny enough, Brian Kelly was asked about, you know, guys having to, him having to earn the trust of guys like Miles Brennan, John Emery, Kayshawn Boutte. And he gave a great answer. He just said it's a two-way street. You know, they've got to earn mine.